Good morning again, everybody. Hi, Sam.
No problem.
No problem. You haven't missed anything. I'd just like to, for those of you that don't know Angie, just like to welcome Angie to this little group. We started yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning talking about the projects that have come out of Hornby Summer Schools and returned Hornby Scholars. And we talked a little bit, or I talked a little bit yesterday, about the importance of this relationship between the British Council and the Hornby alumni. And we believe that today the focus will be on the future. Yesterday we were talking about the past. Today we'll be focusing on the future. And in order to help Hornby alumni to think about ways in which they could find greater synergy between their activities in their regions and their countries and locations, I'm going to present a little bit about the regional English project that the British Council is running in Latin America and the Caribbean. Increasingly in the British Council, we will be looking regionally rather than nationally. So there's a tendency for us to even stop doing Brazil only or Peru or Colombia only or Venezuela only activities and focusing on regional activities which will bring together teachers and tutors online and possibly face-to-face from all over the region. So the original name for the regional project, as many of you may know, was Inglés, English. Okay, which brought together Spanish, Portuguese and English words for English. And it wasn't particularly creative, you'll probably have to agree with me on that. And then, so with a new team that was formed when I joined the British Council, we decided to rename it to a slightly more positive, motivating title than IIE, which is what it came to be called in those days. Well, YES is not an abbreviation. It doesn't stand for anything, which I think is great, because we have far too many acronyms, far too many abbreviations in the British Council. Yeah, it's just a positive statement. And I would say the most important part of the name is the exclamation mark, because it's all about motivating people and getting people on board. It's a very easily recognisable word for those who are not so familiar with the English language as well. So, well, I don't need to bore you with the mission and purpose of the British Council. You're more than familiar with that. This is a diagram which I find quite useful to show how the British Council seeks to support not only teachers of English, but also government bodies and local education authorities and federal governments at a national level in the field of ELT. So as you can see, we've got at the top of the process, almost top priority for us, are those teachers who are beginning, who have had very little opportunity to develop language and methodology. So they're right at the top as our main focus. We have those teachers who have been around for a while, have maybe been exposed to some opportunities for development, but obviously there's further development possible there. And then specialist teachers, and that would incorporate you guys and other colleagues who have already a very considerable background and experience and qualifications possibly, and who are interested in contributing to reaching the other teachers who are in need of development. So very important partners there. B, you have your hand up. Oh, great. I changed microphone. Okay, I can probably hold both at the same time. Plug something in. Andrea. From Argentina. Okay. So as soon as you plug that in, are we now on live? Online? Okay. Sorry? I will. That's fine, yeah, take your time. No rush. Okay, Andrea, can you hear me? This is Graham in Brazil, just greeting Andrea Senti from Argentina. It's great that you could join us online using Illuminate. If you could perhaps just type a message to B, who's moderating this session, letting us know if you can hear us. Okay, it's inside the file that says you need a folder. That's not it, that's something else. You need to find the pen drive. Can Andrea hear us? Has she mentioned anything? Andrea, oh, have you got it? BTNC and Assini, and then E-English for Teachers, Fortaleza. Okay. Has there been any confirmation, B, from Andrea that she can hear us? Ah, B, okay. Asking B to do two things at once. It's not fair. Yeah. I'm just going to carry on then explaining this diagram, because for people who are online elsewhere, it's fairly self-explanatory. But I'd just like to point out that we see all of these entities represented here as key partners. I think everyone needs to be on board. It's no good having individual tutors or teacher developers struggling hard to make contact with public sector teachers if the local education authority and the federal government aren't behind it. And I'm happy to say that we've had several meetings in Brasilia with the Brazilian Minister of Education, Fernando Haddad, and he totally supports the initiative. And when you have that sort of institutional support, and he says to his secretaries, please support the British Council and help them and work with them, then that goes a long way to making things happen. If you try and do it bottom-up, unfortunately, it's much harder. Top-down seems to be easier. So we're obviously working at both ends of the spectrum to try and get as many teachers as possible on our development paths. Sorry?
Some noise.
Okay, that's probably me. Well, I'm just going to keep going in the interests of colleagues who are here today face-to-face. So how can we help? As I think might have identified yesterday, there's a need for improving knowledge about and use of English. So it's basically language and methodology, as we said yesterday, and then the importance of a virtual network for sharing of experiences. So nothing particularly new there. I'd like to talk now then about the e-tutoring certificate.
Don't tell us.
Yeah. Well, let's see. 5 people in this room who are... Yes, who are already involved. Sorry? You certainly could, yeah, in the next time round, because we have it's a very personalised course. It's password access, so we have to first of all receive the application form of those interested, and then we provide them with a passport, and then it's that very cohesive group which interacts online and collaborates to construct knowledge about e-tutoring and the sort of skills that are necessary for that. Okay, B, what can I do for you? It's important to mention that we found that to work in our groups to complement the activities online within the Moodle platform, it's been very useful to use wikis. And I think that's something that we're going to see more and more. In fact, Deborah was just telling me that there's very likely to be a lot of collaboration between Sam, who's now in Postchikalpas, is it?
Postchikalpas,
yeah.
Now.
Okay, so she's moved to Minas, and colleagues in other parts of Brazil who are probably teaching and working at different times, but it's very hard to be online at the same time, in real time. So the way we found within this e-tutoring course to overcome that problem is using wikis, so it's a good tool for collaborative learning. What do we do with our wikis? Deborah, would you like to suggest?
No, I don't think I can do that, because I was the one who asked.
Members of your group.
upgrade. And so I create pages. You know, what I do for each week of the course, I create a page, say, this week one, week one. Right? And then we go there and I post the task and we go, we discuss the task and the Facebook comments. It's, oh, that's good, that's great. And then we choose different colors to add in the material. And then we decide, oh no, Valesi, you post, you do the final post. So Valesi goes there, summarizes the ideas of the group, and we post to the forum. So that's the way we go about it.
Okay. Thank you. Just to clarify for any people who might not be familiar with Wikis, might not have seen one online, it's very much like a Word document. So you've got all your formatting tools and colours and italics and bold and underline at the top, and you simply write whatever text you want to write, and then save it. And when you save it, it instantly becomes a web page. And that means that the next person to visit that wiki can click on edit and make whatever changes they want to that text, and then save it again, and it's there on the website. And there are two ways of using it. You can either collaboratively edit the wiki so that you know, the text actually changes and metamorphoses, if you like, and you have no record of the original version. Or you can leave the original version, then post above it your new version, slightly changed, so you have a record of the evolution of the collaboratively edited document. So that's what we've been doing for group posts within the EduDrink certificate. So this is the front page of the EduDrink certificate. You'll see that it has all the regular features of a Moodle platform, all the latest news up here, the latest posts from the tutors, who, by the way, are based in Mexico. We have five tutors who are all based in Mexico City with the British Council. And then basically what we do each day is just come in, click on forums, and go straight to that week's activities and look at what people have posted and make comments. This is the content of the EduDrink course. This is a very sort of distilled version of the content because it's a 9-week course, and within a single week we'll very often touch on 3 or 4 different aspects of EduDrink. So I've tried to summarise here. What we've got initially how to form and maintain groups. That means how to encourage participation so people don't drop out. The nature, some of the peculiarities of online learning. There's a very interesting discussion we had in the early weeks of the course about the differences between face-to-face learning and computer-mediated communication, CMC. And that, I think, was quite interesting for a lot of people who are becoming familiar with that environment and perhaps noticing some of the differences. E-skills and competencies, what would be the profile of an ideal e-tutor? And it's interesting some of the things that come up. They're mostly similar to the characteristics of an ideal classroom teacher. But I think what is slightly different is the ability to elicit as much more asking of questions rather than giving of answers. Of course, in the ideal face-to-face classroom, that would also be the case, but the reality is it's a bit different. They still tend to be quite teacher-centered, whereas online, it's absolutely not tutor-centered at all. It's totally centered on the collaborative construction of knowledge by the learners. So there's some very interesting discussions about that. Access issues, motivation. Some people feel, for example, that having to enter the course every single day is a bit of a chore. It's a bit complicated if they have a busy schedule. Other people, like myself included, believe that if you don't access every day, then motivation can start dropping. If you go for a couple of days without visiting the forum, you might suddenly think, well, I've got by these past 2 days without visiting, I think I'll carry on not visiting. So we've noticed that when people were forced by force of circumstance to miss a couple of days, they tended to either drop out or contribute less after that. And those people who are there every single day just seem to get more and more involved as time goes by. Socialization, there is a space called e-startups, very unoriginally inspired by Starbucks, who are now almost going bankrupt, so it's probably a good idea to change the name of the e-startups. That's a space for general chat, not related to the course. It's nice to be able to just shoot the breeze, I think they say in America, just to chat, just to talk about non-related things like your favourite films, nice places to visit in Brazil and other countries. And that's been, I think, quite a useful space for people to chill out and relax a bit online and perhaps get to know each other a bit better for those who didn't already know each other face-to-face. E-tivity design, that was a very challenging part of the course where participants were invited to actually think of an e-tivity. And what was very clear there was that those of us that have come from a face-to-face classroom teaching background
have almost preconceived ideas about how to design a classroom activity. And when you try and convert that to an online environment, you suddenly stumble across problems like pair work, group work, eliciting. It's much more complicated online if every time there's going to be an interaction, there needs to be a host. And especially dividing the class into groups, it can be quite complicated online to change people around in their groups. Because people are accessing the e-tutoring course asynchronously, you don't have a specific time and date to access. It's just whenever you're free. Some people access in the middle of the night, some people early morning, some people midday. And because of that asynchronous nature, it's necessary to adapt the design of the e-tutoring in the online environment. So that was a big challenge, I think everyone would agree. The e-tutor is a knowledge builder. Again, some of the skills required for the e-tutor are the skill of weaving. Because it is such a collaborative environment, and the teacher doesn't have the answers at the beginning of the course, it's a question of the e-learners themselves constructing the knowledge. But one of the roles of the e-tutor is to pick up on the main points that have been agreed upon or raised by participants, and in fact mention the participants who came up with those ideas. So due recognition is given to creative ideas. So very often in sort of summary posts made by an e-tutor, you would have, for example, Sam mentioned this, that, and the other. Chris agreed and also added this, that, and the other. José Antonio thinks that, and so we mentioned people by name, so as to recognize their important contributions. And also it's possible at that point to see a general consensus. If almost the whole group of e-learners seems to agree on a particular skill that is required of an e-tutor, then that's probably very valid. How to assess, how to evaluate, that's difficult at the best of times in a face-to-face classroom. Exactly, and the main discussion revolved around the balance between qualitative criteria, i.e. what people are actually saying, and quantitative criteria, i.e. how many posts they made in a week. So if you think of a situation in which you may have somebody simply posting after every idea, saying, I agree, or thanks for that, or good job, then in terms of quantity, they're actually participating quite heavily, and they may have 20 or 30 posts at the end of the week, whereas in terms of quality, absolutely nothing new has been added. So it's very important when using assessment criteria to have the balance and think about the proportion of qualitative and quantitative criteria, which will lead to a fair evaluation of the person's contribution to the course. And at the moment this week, believe it or not, in the midst of everything else that's going on, people are working on planning an e-conference, same as planning a lesson. Lesson planning is always important. I think it doesn't matter how experienced you are, how long you've been teaching. I personally have always liked to go into a class with a plan, which is obviously a flexible plan. You need to build in options. But this has to be thought about very carefully in the e-environment because of the degree of technical timing, deadlines, instructions. Everything is just a little bit more sophisticated on the online environment, so it requires quite a bit of planning. Okay. So that's basically the contents of the e-tutoring course, which people are due to finish at the end of this week. And the reason for running this e-tutoring course with about 20-something participants from Brazil was to create a cohort of qualified, trained e-tutors who would be then able to administer the e-English for Teachers, which is our real tool for teacher development in Brazil. Again, run on Moodle. There's going to be an initial period of online orientation for those public sector teachers who have absolutely no familiarity with computers whatsoever. And one of the requirements, one of the things that we're trying to negotiate with the local education authorities, is that the teachers that are selected to do this course are guaranteed access to the internet every day at their place of work. Or, if it's the case of somebody who has internet and a computer at home, then they can also do the course. But we're trying to avoid a situation where we have a whole group of teachers enrolled for the course who suddenly find that they have to share one computer for a window of 1 hour a week, which obviously that wouldn't work. So access is a very important point here. The duration of the course is expected to be about 150 hours over a period of 11 months, which amounts to about 3 to 5 hours a week of dedication by the teachers. And one thing that I think should be mentioned here that we've found from experience is that it's no good concentrating the 4 or 5 hours all on one day or on the weekend, for example. Because of the collaborative nature of the construction of knowledge, it's necessary to access regularly throughout the week, probably every day, or if not every day, at least every other day, in order to meet deadlines which will be arising So I mentioned the tutors. The course itself has an opportunity for self-assessment, so a bit of autonomy there. And the, one of the roles of the tutor will also be to evaluate. This is the front page of the English teachers course. I personally would have preferred to have seen something really inspiring on the computer screen, but for whatever reason, maybe that's changed, because I did make that criticism when I first saw the prototype of the course. It's a bit of a blank screen, it's not a very good message. So it may be that they've changed that icon and put something in there. Of course, there is another interpretation, which is that the knowledge is going to be constructed throughout the course rather than being ready-made. Yes?
Yeah, in terms of the meantime,
you can see...
We haven't gone anywhere that far.
Ah, you were not able to go into the chapter one. Okay. Maybe it's the path you use, because there is a... I'll give you the path later, or maybe we can try online now. Yes. So that's the structure. As you'll see, it's a very familiar skin. It's almost identical to the structure of our e-tutoring course. The difference you'll see in a minute is the sort of online activity. Just a quick jump to wherever you want to go on the course. The forum that we're all very familiar with. Now, this is something perhaps new for the e-tutors, because on our e-tutoring certificate course, we don't have this sort of quality of presentation. This is much more textbook-like than what we've been used to. And I think it's important to have this visual stimulus for public sector teachers in order to keep them motivated. There are some interactive activities, so they can, when they click on show feedback here, they will have a tip or the answers to the activity. So if they are looking for immediate assistance online, and it may be a time when their e-tutor is not online, they still have some support. They have the option of picking and finding some answers.
Is it within the Moodle platform? No.
Sorry?
Is it within the Moodle?
No. Yes, it's within the Moodle platform. It's all within Moodle. Yeah. It's just that the our e-tivities in the e-tutoring certificate have been annexed as Word documents, for example. Whereas here, they'll click on a particular link and it will take them to this more attractive page. Okay? Sarah?
I have a question for me.
Yeah. Oscillating. Yeah. But I believe we're recording the session, is that right? Yes, okay. Just the audio, great. So that's one example of an activity. Lots of opportunities for personalisation. You'll see that the course has been designed in a way that will enable public sector teachers to really express themselves as individuals and not just as sort of a mass of homogeneous learners. There's plenty of opportunity for that self expression. Yes? Okay, there are a group of writers. Paul Seligson is one of the authors. Ben Goldstein is another one of the authors. I'm trying to remember the name of them. There are about four or five people involved. Most of them are renowned ELT authors from the classroom environment, but obviously everyone is getting on board with this e-learning experience. But there is a lot of editing, I suppose you could call it an editing role, but sort of oversight, if you like, by the British Council, who already have quite a lot of experience in online tutoring, especially in Mexico and Colombia.
What happens to ETP?
No, well, they're totally complementary. We were talking about this a bit yesterday, I think. ETP is for beginning teachers who do not have easy access to the internet, because it's much more lightweight, it doesn't require so many accesses. And it's a slightly lower language level. And our idea is that all the teachers who successfully conclude ETP, which teaches portfolio here in Brazil and indeed in Peru and elsewhere, would be very strong advocates to go on to do this course. So it's continuous development rather than just a one-off chance at something and then they're forgotten about. It is PET level. Because I think you'd agree that ETP is slightly below PET level, whereas this Moodle course, English teachers would actually successfully prepare teachers to take the PET exam. Lots of listening, again reflecting on the reality of their students, talking about their students in their individual context. Here's an example of one of the feedback points that they can click on. It's optional. It doesn't appear first off. This will say show feedback, and if they click on show feedback, then they see the feedback and then the option way. It says, is there information that you don't have or are not sure of? Are there other kinds of information that you have or would like to have about your students? Make a note on your My Students document. So this is obviously an exercise to help them think about the profile of their students and needs analysis. Yeah.
they need to do with their students.
So what's next? After ETP, yeah. Yes, exactly the same. Yeah, but we're not expecting. Yes, that's a good point actually, because you might think that because it's an online course, we're trying to teach non-exempt teachers to work online. That's not the case. The objective is to better prepare them for classroom activity, which is obviously the main focus. So after they've concluded ETP, concluded English for teachers, there are still opportunities for continued development, which is a methodology course. We're preparing, I think it's actually ready, a Moodle GKT, Teaching Knowledge Test Preparation course, methodology. I don't have any screenshots of that, but that certainly will be a next step after English for Teachers. And of course, we're very eager to train more and more online tutors for the simple reason that the more tutors we have, the more public sector teachers we can reach. At the moment, within 20 or so, I know for a fact that some of the people who have concluded the e-tutoring certificate will not be able to become tutors. For a variety of reasons. Even Sam Bonga, it may be needing us to go to another country, we don't know. So that might complicate things. But we.
It's not my business, it's learning, and this is how far you can be.
Yeah, that's true. That's
it just shows you.
It just shows the possibilities. So we would like to train some more tutors, but we have to wait our turn because the other countries in lag. Venezuela, Colombia's had a chance. Venezuela, Chile, Argentina, Cuba, they're also in the queue to be trained, to have their tutors trained.
Well,
our group isn't actually entirely Brazilian. We've got about four or five members from Mexico. So it is a nice mix, and the reality is a little bit different, and people even use language in a slightly different way, depending on their mother tongue. Yes. To who are participating, yeah. Sure. Sam, would you like to say something? Yeah, you might have to come forward.
Let me just get another person so it doesn't get too long.